You turn to Marketplace for the latest news about what's happening in the economy and how it affects you and your community. When you donate to support our nonprofit newsroom, you can also get something a little more tangible. We have a great lineup of donor thank you gifts right now. A shrinkflation mini tote bag, water bottles, mugs, hats, and a lot more. Contribute any amount to make a difference and pick up one of these gifts. Go to marketplace.org/donate.
The chips are down as Foxconn bails on its billion-dollar venture in India. Hello, and you're listening to the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Leanna Byrne. Good morning, and thanks for joining us. Apple supplier Foxconn has pulled out of a $19.5 billion deal with Indian mining giant Vedanta to build a chip-making plant. Less than a year ago, the companies announced plans to set up a facility in Prime Minister Narendra Modi's home state of Gujarat. Taiwan's Foxconn says it remains committed to chip making in India and it's applying for incentives under India's semiconductor manufacturing plan. In a statement, the company said there was recognition from both sides that the project was not moving fast enough. Here's the BBC's Monica Miller.
The setback is really quite significant because Prime Minister Narendra Modi had said that chip making was a top priority of India's economic strategy in pursuit of a new era of electronic manufacturing. Now, this plant was expected to be built in Mr. Modi's home state of Gujarat, and it doesn't get much bigger than Foxconn, which makes roughly 70% of Apple's iPhones. Now, India estimates its semiconductor market could be worth $63 billion by 2026. Now, this deal was forged back in September 2022 with a Taiwanese firm and the Indian mining giant. It agreed to this deal. And at the time, you have to put it in perspective because China was under some strict COVID lockdowns. Tensions continued to be high between the U.S. and China. So Foxconn is looking for ways to push its supply chain outside of China. And India is a very desirable place that they saw to do this. And they still say they do. They still want to support India's efforts. They did, however, say that they would continue to strongly support the government's Make in India ambitions and that it did remove its name from the Vedanta project. It's now fully owned by Vedanta so that it can go out and it is seeking sole proprietors to make semiconductors and continue on that path. It's just not going to be with Foxconn at this time.
That was the BBC's Monica Miller there. Now let's do the numbers. Sterling reached its highest level in 15 months compared to the dollar due to a higher than anticipated wage growth, and that's increased pressure on the Bank of England to continue raising interest rates. And another up, German inflation was up in June, breaking consistent downward trend since the beginning of the year, with consumer prices rising by 6.8% compared to the previous year. Let's go to Spain now, where the economy is the battleground in the political campaigns ahead of the general election at the end of July. The BBC's Guy Hedgeco reports.
Somos la España que se levanta pronto, aunque se acueste tarde.
A campaign advert for the Socialist Party, which has been governing Spain in a coalition since 2020. The theme of this ad is optimism about the country's future. And the government believes that when it comes to the economy, it has a strong hand. As the summer begins, the tourism and hostelry industries, which are so important for the Spanish economy, have now fully bounced back to where they were before the pandemic. This has helped drive growth, with Spain's GDP among the fastest growing in Europe. Nadia Calviño, the economy minister and deputy prime minister, says this economic performance has also been boosted by the 70 billion euros in direct funds that Spain has been receiving from the EU post-pandemic recovery fund.
We were lucky to have the European support, so we could take the right measures to protect the economy in the wake of the pandemic. And then thanks to the Next Generation EU Recovery Plan, we've been able to undertake a massive investment and reform program, which is already delivering very good results. But there are two transitions which for sure will mark the economic performance going forward: the digital transformation and the challenge of facing and trying to mitigate and adapt to climate change.
Meanwhile, fuel and energy prices, which shot up early last year, have returned to the levels they were at before the war in Ukraine. But the Conservative Popular Party is accusing the government of complacency. And as a general election approaches, its leader, Alberto Núñez Feijóo, has promised to lower taxes and cut public debt.
El gobierno está decidido a presumir de gestión económica. ¿Y la realidad cuál es? Pues que somos más pobres.
The government boasts of its economic record, but what is the reality? We are poorer than we were in 2019. The economic reality is that we have the highest youth and female unemployment rate in Europe. We have double the European jobless rate. And we are seeing the biggest rise in prices of the last 40 years.
Inflation has in fact dropped substantially in recent months, and it's now at around 3%. And while unemployment remains high at around 13%, it has dropped steeply since the pandemic. The question as the election approaches is how voters feel about all of this. I'm in Puerta del Sol, the large square in central Madrid, and I'm going to see what people here think about the economy.
The gap between different economies, like the rich people and the poor people, is like even bigger, and it's becoming like worse and worse. And I don't know, I think that is putting people like on edge, and I think it's just going to become worse.
The European Central Bank and other institutions say that Spain's economy is growing fast and doing well, says this man. But I think people have less and less buying power.
Our government has a lot of criticism on them, but I don't think they did that bad. I mean, we had difficult times with the pandemic, with the unemployment, but well, they struggled, but they did what they could.
Polls suggest that the Conservatives are heading for victory on July the 23rd. However, if they do win, they will almost certainly need the support of the far-right Vox party in order to govern. Mr. Sanchez's government has warned that if the right were to get into power, the release of further EU recovery funds could be in jeopardy. For now, Spain's economic growth appears set to remain strong, but predicting its politics is much more difficult. I'm the BBC's Guy Hedgeco for Marketplace.
Now, they say a rolling stone gathers no moss, but what about rare collectibles? Hundreds of books owned by the late Rolling Stones drummer Charlie Watts are going to be sold at auction. The BBC's music correspondent Mark Savage has been finding out what's on offer.
Charlie Watts was a classic British eccentric who just happened to be one of the Rolling Stones. He was an avid collector of antique silver, Savile Row suits and classic literature. Among the lots being offered by Christie's is an early draft of Evelyn Waugh's Brideshead Revisited and a signed first edition of The Great Gatsby. The late musician's family is also selling some of his jazz memorabilia, and Watts biographer Paul Sexton says the collection reflects his love of music.
He's one of those people that was just inspired and hugely influenced by the whole, not just the sound of jazz, but the look of jazz. If somebody was wearing a particular shirt on one of the classic album covers, then he had to have that shirt. It's completely informed by his just almost hero worship of these musicians.
Highlights from the auction will go on display in the US and the UK this summer, ahead of the sale in September.
Mark Savage there. And finally, Chinese authorities are investigating a restaurant that ran a dumpling eating contest whose winner was given the title King of the Big Stomach for breaking food waste laws. Ironically, the reward was a free meal. But China has banned live streaming competitive eating to stop people ordering excessive food. I'm Leanna Byrne with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. Thanks for listening.
Hey everyone, it's Rima Khreis, host of This Is Uncomfortable. If you're looking for some good recommendations on books to read, well, you should join This Is Uncomfortable's Summer Book Club. Every other week in our newsletter, we'll share a new book that'll make you rethink your relationship to money, class, and work, while also featuring an interview with the author or an expert on the topic. Plus, when you join, you'll be entered in a giveaway where you could win some This Is Uncomfortable merch. Be sure to check it out. Sign up today at marketplace.org/bookclub.